How pathetic, how pitiful, how empty are all of the superstitious things that men invent to try to substitute for the glory of Jesus Christ at Christmas time.
D. James Kennedy Ministries presents Truths That Transform.
Today on Truths That Transform, we'll look at the true meaning behind the Christmas season.
Because he was born and he lives, I can live in the power of the living Christ.
And you'll discover how the story we celebrate at Christmas was foretold centuries before.
That's one of the reasons why people accepted him as indeed the true Messiah, because he fulfilled what Moses and the prophets had written.
Join us for this Christmas edition of Truths That Transform. Merry Christmas and welcome to Truths That Transform, a production of D. James Kennedy Ministries, where we are standing for truth and defending your freedom. Christmas time is a time of great joy, but it can also be a time of difficulty for many. Losses and setbacks can be magnified at this time of year when it seems that everyone else is celebrating. But the arrival of Christ into the world and the everlasting life we can have because of that fact is worth rejoicing in, even during our most difficult times. On today's program, we will reintroduce you to the wonder and joy of Christmas, and you'll discover how God gave us previews of the story of Jesus centuries and millennia before he came. And as we begin, Bishop Harry Jackson is a frequent guest of ours, a courageous man of God who stands up for biblical truth on controversial issues. But you may not know that he suffered his own difficult loss this year. Nevertheless, he finds hope in the events of Christmas that we celebrate this week. Our own John Rabe recently sat down with him to talk about the hope that Christ offers each one of us.
Bishop Jackson, you and I are unfortunately members of the same club. I lost my wife, Wendy, to cancer in December of 2016, and you lost your beautiful wife,
Vivian,
just this past April of 2018.
Yes.
My condolences to you on your loss. You are a pastor. You're a man of God. I've experienced it as well. Whatever our faith is, it certainly opens up new dimensions to us who God is and how much we need God when we face something like that, doesn't it?
It does. I guess I've counseled all kinds of people about grief, but I never felt it this deeply. And I guess that's my mother died 4 years before my wife, ironically in the same month. But it was a deep pain, but nothing like in a sense, the wife of my youth. All my adult years were spent with that beautiful woman who shaped my life and my children, our church, and our destinies together.
And it's not a lack of faith. Paul has said, we do not grieve as those without hope. But he doesn't say that we don't grieve. And so while we have the hope of a future resurrection, we have a hope of seeing our saved loved ones again, it doesn't mean that we don't experience intense pain here, recognizing that in the interim, we're not going to see the person who we've shared our lives with.
Well, that's so true. I think you're onto something. And the fact that Jesus, when he declared, he read the scroll in the synagogue, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me to bring good news to the poor, and he begins to talk about that, the first action item he brings up in his ministry is to heal the brokenhearted. So grief is really all about a broken heart. Loss, a deep loss, a loss of job, loss of relationship, loss of stature, status, all of this, loss of health, long-term sickness. Healing the broken heart is available for everyone listening. And the good news I'm learning is that Jesus has a process that as we get healed, it somehow it gives us the capacity also to minister to others.
For me, in some way, it even opens up the Christmas story in a new way, because here you have the spotless, sinless Son of God who comes to earth in the form of a human being and all that that entails, including ultimately a death. And in his case, an execution, one who should have never died, dies on our behalf. When you go through a death of a loved one, it really does bring alive the importance of what it is that Christ has done for us by coming into this world, doesn't it?
Oh, it really does. I love what you're saying. And I think as we celebrate Christmas and things like communion, you know, as Jesus said, this do in remembrance of me. I think in a time like Christmas, our remembering is supposed to be to rethink, experience again who Jesus is, the power and the sacrifice he's made. And people who are neuroscientists now say the left side of your brain tells you the linear story of what happened. The right side of your brain brings interpretation to the facts. Fact is that Jesus came to save us, but the interpretation we should remember is that that salvation is for me. That birth was so he would identify with me. In this Christmas, we should be dealing with the fact that no matter how deep the pain, how deep the loss, no matter how much we feel like we're forgotten and forsaken, Jesus died for us. His death and his life and his birth, all of those things are stated facts. We know he really lived. But as we bring that right side of the brain interpretation into it, we should say, because he was born and he lives, I can live in the power of the living Christ.
Amen. Bishop Jackson, God bless you. Thank you for being with us. I appreciate you. Thank you as always.
Thank you.
What better way to appreciate the night sky than with a stunning illustration of the stars and constellations, accompanied by biblical descriptions of how each one proclaims the gospel of Jesus Christ? D. James Kennedy Ministries presents, for the first time, the exclusive Gospel Planisphere. This one-of-a-kind planisphere folds out to poster size and shows how, contrary to pagan astrology, God placed the zodiac in the heavens to proclaim the story of redemption. Contact us today to receive the Gospel Planisphere, a fold-out guide to the gospel in the stars that can only be obtained through D. James Kennedy Ministries.
The holiday season can often be a time of sadness for many people. Tragedy, disconnection, or illness can make it seem as if one is left alone outside of all the fun that everybody else is having. But if we step away from all of the societal trappings, there really is a great joy to be had at Christmas. I'm joined now by my very good friend Jennifer Kennedy Cassidy. Well, Jennifer, Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you too, Frank. Christmas can be a time of celebration, whatever our circumstances. My father, Dr. D. James Kennedy, suffered greatly and quietly from physical ailments for much of his life. But he knew that there was great joy to be had outside of his physical circumstances. As we celebrate this Christmas, we too should stop and contemplate the joy that has come into the world with the incarnation of our Savior, Jesus Christ. The arrival of Jesus is the event that ensures that one day every tear will be dried and every bit of suffering will be taken away. That, in the words of Gandalf from The Return of the King, everything sad is going to come untrue. My dad shares more in this portion of his Yuletide message, The Wonder and Joy of Christmas.
Of all of the many moods of Christmas that crowd around that Christic cradle, there is none, I think, more typical than wonder and joy. Someone has well said that joy was born at Bethlehem. Well, yes and no. Not exactly correct. The truth would be that joy was reborn at Bethlehem. Because you see, heaven has forever been filled with joy. It overflows with joy. It is the land of joy and rejoicing evermore, the paradise of God. And when God created a perfect man and a perfect woman and put them in a perfect garden, there was nothing there but joy. And then, sad to say, a great tragedy took place, and the laughter of heaven began to fade away because of sin. The greatest lesson perhaps you could ever learn in this world, about human life at least, is that the source of sorrow is sin. Because the greatest lie ever told by Satan is that sin is the source of joy. He has told that to our first parents and to every generation that's ever lived since then and to every single one of you, with no exception. The scriptures clearly say the wages of sin is death. And without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. And who shall provide it? A voice is heard out of eternity crying, "Lo, I come!" In the volume of the book, it is written of me, "Thou hast prepared for me a body." And so the everlasting, eternal God became flesh and was born in a stable at Christmas time. For that is why he came, to endure the wrath of God for the sin of man, that everlasting fury that God has against sin, was to meet our sin in his body on a tree. And when the last sin had been paid for, he cried, "It is finished! It is done! It is paid!" And he had provided the atonement of blood, and sin was dealt with at last. And for all of those who have come, fallen on their knees and embraced that cross, that wonder and that joy have flown into their hearts, and they have experienced that joy which has come to the world because our King has come. And they know the wonder and the joy of what it means to know Jesus Christ. That is the meaning of Christmas. That is the wonder and the joy.
The wonder and joy of the incarnation of Christ, which we celebrate at Christmas, never ceases to amaze. And one of the ways we know it's true is because of the remarkable way in which the Old Testament scriptures, written many hundreds of years before Christ, clearly foretold his coming. Our own Dr. Jerry Newcomb has more.
The great news is, for one who will look into the writings of Moses and the prophets, they will find Jesus, because Jesus really is the core message of the entire Bible, not just the New Testament, but what we call the Old Testament, the writing of Moses and the prophets.
Hundreds of years before the Messiah was born, his birth, ministry, death, resurrection, and even his ancestry were foretold in hundreds of prophecies to be found in the Hebrew Bible, that is the Old Testament. Here is a list of just a handful of these prophecies, including the year they were predicted, such as that he would be rejected by his own family and friends, that a friend would betray him, that the price would be 30 pieces of silver, that he would rise from the dead. These facts and hundreds more were foretold by the writers of the Old Testament. The New Testament places a great focus on the prophecies Jesus fulfilled to demonstrate that he was indeed the Messiah. We can see this, for example, in its very opening book, the Gospel according to Matthew.
Matthew wrote the first of the four Gospels. He was one of Jesus' disciples. He was a tax collector, as a matter of fact, and also very good with numbers and words, quite clearly, because he provides a gospel which is addressed primarily to the Jewish world to show that the Hebrew prophecies in the Old Testament were actually fulfilled in Jesus of Nazareth. And the Hebrew term for Messiah is Mashiach, and the Greek term for the same word is Christos. And so when you say Jesus Christ, you're using really the church's oldest confession that Jesus is the Christ.
Let's consider just a few of these prophecies, such as this statement from the prophet Isaiah, written about 750 years before Christ.
Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel.
The great Messiah would come in the most miraculous of all births, a virgin birth, and that was simply impossible. But as the angel would tell Mary, nothing is impossible for God.
Isaiah goes on to give us even more information about this forthcoming divine Messiah.
For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace.
And so here we have this great hope that God will come to be our Savior, and he will come in the form of a human being. We will have a son given, and in that son, we will see God as God has never been seen before in the flesh.
Where was he to be born? Writing about 700 BC, the prophet Micah stated,
out of Bethlehem will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from of old, from ancient times.
One of the amazing things about the first Advent is that it was small. It was not triumphant. Jesus showed up in a little tiny city of Bethlehem instead of in Rome. There were shepherds there instead of great Roman gladiators and Roman politicians. All of that was small. There was a lowliness to his approach and a lowliness of his audience. And yet we know that the second coming will be entirely different from that.
We also see in the Old Testament the idea of the Messiah as a suffering servant, first in Psalm 22, which virtually takes us to the foot of the cross. These words were written by King David around 1000 BC.
Dogs have surrounded me. A band of evil men has encircled me. They have pierced my hands and my feet. People stare and gloat over me. They divide my garments among them and cast lots for my clothing.
It tells us precisely what is going to happen at his death and all the things that will take place during that time. It's an amazing, amazingly accurate prediction about the death of the Lord Jesus Christ.
And perhaps most famously of all, Isaiah 53 points us to the suffering Messiah who would ultimately pay for the sins of his people on the cross. In 750 BC, the prophet Isaiah wrote,
he was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and familiar with suffering, like one from whom men hide their faces. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray, and each of us has turned to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all.
Isaiah clearly sees that the Messiah will make an atonement for sin. He will suffer for the sins of his people. One time I was ministering in prison, and I was talking to a young man who was Jewish. He said he didn't want to read him anything out of the New Testament. And I said, okay. So I read to him Isaiah 53. He stopped me immediately and in an angry tone said, why are you reading me from the New Testament? I told you not to do that. I said, it's not. It's the prophet Isaiah. I showed it to him. He read it. He immediately saw Jesus in the passage, and he trusted Jesus as his Lord and Savior. That's one of the reasons why people accepted him as indeed the true Messiah, because he fulfilled what Moses and the prophets had written.
As you have just seen, the biblical prophecies foretold in remarkable detail about the coming of Christ. Only a supernatural origin of these predictions can account for it. The fact is, God loves to proclaim the story of the gospel. But did you know that He has also proclaimed that story in the very stars and constellations of the night sky? Dr. Kennedy spent years researching this phenomenon, and we have some exclusive resources for you that encapsulate that research. First, there is the Gospel Planisphere. This stunning planisphere illustrates in detail the constellations and how they tell the biblical story of Jesus Christ and the redemption He brings into the world. You simply have never seen anything like this planisphere, which folds out to poster size. And we'd like to send it to you as our thanks for your generous donation to the ongoing work of this ministry. Simply write to us at D. James Kennedy Ministries, Box 11154, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, 33339. Or call toll-free, 877-962-7677. Or you can go online to djkm.org. Some generous friends of this ministry have stepped forward to establish a generous $375,000 Proclaim the Gospel Matching Challenge Fund to help us finish this year in the black. If you give right now, your impact will be essentially doubled as you match their challenge. So please, contact us right away to help us finish 2018 in the black, ready to move forward with the gospel in 2019. And as our thanks for your generous donation of $50 or more, we will send you the Gospel Planisphere plus Dr. Kennedy's groundbreaking book, The Real Meaning of the Zodiac, which contains in detailed writing his research on how each of the signs of the zodiac proclaim the gospel message. Dr. Kennedy strongly rejected pagan astrology, which is a perversion of the zodiac, but he recognized with the psalmist that the heavens proclaim the glory of God. These powerful resources will help you to see how that's true as you've never seen it before. And if you can give a generous donation of $100 or more, we will thank you by sending you the Gospel Planisphere, the book, and the 13-message series on DVD or audio CD entitled The Gospel in the Stars. This series contains Dr. Kennedy's unique message on each sign of the zodiac and how it fits into the narrative of redemption that God placed in the sky at creation. This series is the most requested series of Dr. Kennedy's entire ministry, so you do not want to miss this opportunity to get it for yourself. These are resources you simply cannot get anywhere else. And as you give, you'll be helping to match the $375,000 Proclaim the Gospel Challenge Fund so that we can finish 2018 on a strong financial footing. Simply write to us at D. James Kennedy Ministries, Box 11154, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, 33339, or call toll-free, 877-962-7677. Or go online to djkm.org. It's no secret that we live in a fallen world. We only need look around us or even merely at our own bodies to see how things are coming undone. When sin entered into the world in the Garden of Eden, it set us on a trajectory toward decay and death. We see that in our own culture as we watch the celebration of the abortion holocaust under the banner of free choice, and the widespread effort to undermine God's unique design for us as men and women. And we see the effects of sin in ourselves as we suffer illnesses and pains, and as we grieve the loss of loved ones. But that world is being turned upside down. When we look to the baby in the manger at Christmas time, we are looking to the Christ, the Messiah who would grow up, who would obey the law perfectly, and would ultimately go to the cross and suffer death by execution. He did not suffer for any crimes that he had committed, since he had none. Instead, he suffered for the crimes that you and I have committed. Not only did Jesus die on that cross, but he rose again from the dead 3 days later. And with his resurrection, a new order has entered into the world. For a short time still, there will be the residue of sin, including suffering and bodily death. But Christ, the sinless Son of God, has definitively undone all of that. And so, no matter what your burdens might be during this Christmas week, remember that the tidings of great joy pronounced on high so long ago are for you, as are the promises soon to be fulfilled, where the Scripture says, "He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more, neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain any more, for the former things have passed away." And he who was seated on the throne said, "Behold, I am making all things new." D. James Kennedy Ministries is standing for truth and defending your freedom. I'm Frank Wright. I wish you a blessed Christmas season. May the joy of Christ be yours in abundance. We'll see you next time on Truths That Transform.
Next week on Truths That Transform.
The ministry of James Kennedy has deeply touched my life and the life of my family.
Therefore, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new.
That's next week. Today's program is available on DVD for your gift to this ministry of any amount. Please call, write, or log on to our website today. This has been a production of D. James Kennedy Ministries.